Callie Siskel is a former winner of the Poetry Society of American Chapbook Fellowship. Her poems have appeared in The Atlantic, The Paris Review, and The New York Review of Books. She holds a PhD in creative writing and literature from the University of Southern California. She has a new book of poems out called Two Minds that are dedicated to her father, and that would be Gene Siskel. Callie Siskel, welcome to WGN, and thank you for coming on the air tonight.
Thank you for having me.
How do I put this? I was amazed at the honesty, if that's the right word, of your experience in putting this book together. Can you explain to me a little bit about what it was that coalesced in your mind to bring these, what are they, 92 different poems?
I haven't counted. I'm glad you did.
Well, that's the number it said at the table of contents. I didn't go through it myself and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, but there's 92 of them in there. Yes, it's indeed. Yeah. And they range in, and I didn't get to read all of them yet, but I will. But they range in so many different directions. But once you get it in your head as the reader that this book, and correct me if I'm wrong, dedicated to your father, that all of these poems have some connection with that. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much for spending time with the book and for having me on the show. Yes, the poems range in subject matter from adulthood to looking at visual art to personal relationships outside of my family. But at the heart of the book is losing my dad when I was 12 years old and how that shifted the way I look at the world and how I think about loss and how it infiltrates everything. And so every poem does come back to that central theme and comes back to that really significant moment in my life when I was 12.
Yeah, we all remember that around here very well, a very sad day. And that brings me to the point where a lot of folks, I'm just guessing, know Gene Siskel because of Ebert and Siskel when it went into syndication. But for us who are here, who have been here long enough, I mean, we know your dad from being a reporter for the newspaper, doing reviews on the Channel 2 News with Bill and Walter, then going with Roger over to Channel 11, and then after that, the syndication, and, you know, they're appearing on The Tonight Show. So I think what I'm getting at is that I think folks who are familiar with your dad's career from the beginning here on the newspaper are really going to get a bit more out of this than someone who came in to your father's career when he was on with Roger. That's just my take. Yeah. That's just my take on it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think the more you know about him, the more you might be able to, you know, have the poems come alive in a certain way. But I wrote the book not mentioning him by name, of course, and not really alluding to his career. Yeah, and there's only one poem that mentions his passion for movies. It doesn't even specify that he was a film critic. It does mention that he was obsessed with the movie Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, my God.
I wrote this. Yeah.
That's legendary.
It is. And I'm so glad you used that word because it is legendary and it's outside of even my relationship with him. I didn't talk to him about Saturday Night Fever, but all these amazing stories have been passed down to me, some through Roger himself, who obviously sadly passed away, and through family and through people I've met who have stories like I'm sure you do. And this book was a chance for me to kind of go back to just a very pared down kind of relationship of father-daughter and think about him in that context alone, essentially.
Right.
So anyone could read this book and not even know who he is. But as you say, the more you know, the more it'll have.
Yes, but I'll take that back to a certain extent, okay? I mean, you don't have to know anything about any of this, really. to relate to some of this. For instance, if I may be so bold, the poem Cocktail Hour sort of just blew me away, quite frankly.
Thank you.
On nights my mother's boyfriend stayed over. Bingo! I'm like, what? I mean, right away, I'm the boyfriend staying over? Where is this headed? I would come home and find his Reeboks straightened on the welcome mat. The interior door would be open, the house alive with the Allman Brothers, Ramblin' Man, or Midnight Rider, and every light would be on. The first thought that popped into my head when I read that was, been there, done that. certainly not under the same circumstances, but I believe that there are a lot of people who understand those words and can relate it to their own experience. Maybe not through the death of a parent, but maybe the death of a marriage, if you will, and a divorce. The parties involved continuing on to have relationships. I thought that was really quite the opening to that poem. It just really struck me.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. I mean, this poem was hard to write, but this poem was hard to start, but this poem actually came really quickly and ends with myself kind of imagining that I am my father coming back to the family. And that was a very important turning point or a threshold for me as the writer to realize that I had the power as a writer to merge with him through writing, through metaphor, and that's one of the gifts of poetry. And so that was this is a poem I wrote a very long time ago, one of the earliest. And once I wrote it, there's this feeling when you write something and it clicks into place that you kind of have the permission to keep going. And so then I kept writing this book, and it became more and more about him after this poem.
So how many, what's the time frame of your working on this until you come out with the Two Minds?
Yeah. About 12 years, which is a very, poignant number for me, because that's how old I was when my dad died. So I worked on the book for as long as my dad was my dad and on Earth.
Wow.
And that was a strange symmetry to realize. But yeah, I've been working on it since I was a graduate student for a master's degree in Baltimore at Johns Hopkins. That was sort of where I began writing poetry professionally, or with like intention to be professional about poetry. Mm-hmm. And then I, obviously you mentioned I pursued a doctoral degree. So it's been a long time of studying poetry and then writing these poems and revising them when I was met with rejection, which I was, which most writers are when you to get your book published. So I submitted it over the last 5 years. And no, that's fine.
Wow.
What were you going to say?
You submitted this over the last 5 years, and then finally somebody said okay?
Yeah, and it was truly the dream place that said okay. So I'm so glad that it worked out the way it did. I'm very happy with working with this press, with Norton.
I'm glad that you are going to do more with Kelly Siskel when we come back on 720 WGN. Oh, no. Not that Saturday Night Fever stuff again. Yeah, I guess so.
No comment.
I know what it's like to sort of have to go over and over and over for, years and years and years, the same story, but you know what? It's just one of those things that is always going to be there because it's a great story.
Yeah,
it is. And that is your father, Gene Siskel's unbelievable attachment to this movie, Saturday Night Fever, and buying the clothing, the white suit that John Travolta wore in the movie. And I saw some quote somewhere, I think, attributed to your dad that he sold it and it paid for somebody's college tuition. I mean, it was just like, my head was exploding. It was just wild. Speaking of your dad, when he hooks up with Roger Ebert, and what struck me was that here were two unbelievably smart and intelligent people who, because I thought your father was just, I don't know, brilliant would be the word.
Thanks.
And, I mean, they had the ability to collide, if, for lack of a better term, but they were, but it was also backed up by an unbelievable ability to think and express themselves. And both of them started out as writers. What was it about, was there anything aspect of that of your father that pointed you in the direction of being a creative writer to compose poems and enter that field?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, one of the things I've definitely thought about in hindsight, at the time when I was watching the show, I was so young and I wasn't right. noticing their chemistry, or I was thinking more just like, wow, that's, there's my dad. But I think his, like, his power of, with words and his concision, you know, because they had to get their part in. I mean, this is a bit of a stretch, but I do think that I know, and I did talk about with my dad, how much he valued brevity and concision in terms of speaking and mm-hmm. when he wrote his column, because mm-hmm. he was always working with constraints with the newspaper, or of course with, you know, this kind of combative but also deeply respectful relationship with Roger. And I also started to value those things. And so as it relates to writing, and poetry being the most concise form of writing, the briefest form, and then also within the poems themselves, I tend to write pretty minimally, and I try to reach maximum emotional impact with the fewest possible words. And I do think that's something that he aesthetically valued in literature and in art and in his own career. So it definitely had an effect on me.
Well, I think maximum emotional impact with the fewest amount of words is just a really great way of explaining how this book, Two Minds, work.
Thank you.
So the title of the book, Two Minds, I think it's an I already know the answer, but where does that title come from?
Can I ask you what you think? Because I actually have so many thoughts that I'd love to know, like, what for the reader came through the first or most.
Oh, no. I ask the questions? Okay.
you can say no comment as well, since I used that line earlier.
Hey, I'll give it. Hey, nobody's ever asked me a question. Nobody's ever asked me to analyze a book of poetry. Okay. There's a first time for everything. Well, taking into consideration who the book is dedicated to, your father, and that the writing in it, in one way or another, addresses your relationship with him and your ability to go on after his death, and then what you've said to me on the air about connecting with him, I'm guessing it's your mind and his mind is what I've been arrive at. Is that plausible?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That, and it's funny because I think that's the most, like, pure and the most, I don't want to, I think that's, like, such a beautiful answer. And I think that came to me almost a little bit later, but of course I wanted that meaning conveyed. The kind of first meaning I thought of was these two minds I have about how much losing someone affects your life. And on the one hand, I think it changes the entire spectrum of your life. The way that my life unfolded after he died would have been different if he had lived. And then there's another mind that I hold that wants to believe that I am who I am regardless of what happened. It's a bit of a stranger response, but it was these two minds, one in which losing someone changes the way you think completely, and the other in which you have this sort of self that can't be altered. That's one answer. The other answer is, of course, me and him bound in this book. So, yeah.
Well, I like your answer.
Although, I like yours.
Because I get it. I get it. I get that because, you know, yeah. I think we can be of two minds about a lot of the incidents that confront us in our life. And mm-hmm. Having to deal with something that's emotional or tragic and yet still having to take, you know, keep moving forward, keep talking,
right.
keep functioning.
Right.
I understand that. Yeah. Understand that feeling of I'm talking about one thing, and that's one mind. But in the back of my head is the other mind, who's already doing something else. I get that totally.
Yeah. And the forward and backward that you mentioned too, like the mind right. that takes you back to this one time, and the mind that says you have to keep living. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So the book of poems is called Two Minds. Where do folks go to get a copy, as they should?
Hopefully anywhere books are sold, as they say. I mean, this, I've been delighted to see this book in many independent bookstores. I live in Los Angeles. I read in Chicago at the bookseller and had an amazing experience doing so, and I know they carry it there. Major bookstores, independent bookstores, and of course, all of the usual suspects online. You can also order it directly from W.W. Norton, which is the press that publishes the book.
I'm just going to end this with a story, something that relates to the quote-unquote competition between your father and Roger Ebert.
Okay.
Your dad had passed away, and the Gene Siskel Film Center had opened up on State Street. Time passes by, and Roger Ebert is going to have a, for lack of a better term, a plaque in the sidewalk across the street under the marquee of the Chicago Theater. And there was a to-do. You know, there was a question and answer period. There was a luncheon, and then people come outside and watch this be implemented in the sidewalk, and I was there and your mother was there. And she said to me, you know, Gene would be really happy knowing that he was here first. So I'm like,
you know, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still in its own very wonderful way. Was existing, and it was just really I just got the biggest kick out of that.
I know.
Thank you again, Callie, and all the best to you, and we'll be looking for more from you in your ever burgeoning career of writing and poetry. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for sharing that and for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Sure. Yeah. I'll never forget that. When you least expect it, so to speak, because many of us know what went from a very intense rivalry to a very friendly, intense competition, if you will. I mean, they would argue about what kind of, you know, the shape of a pizza. I mean, it really was a meeting, and in its own way, a clash of two minds, if I may be so bold. Anyway, it's great. I'm not a poetry person, but this book is really, really special.